program of the Washington County Museum. The interviewees are Mr. and Mrs. Earl and Mary. The following interview was conducted on behalf of the Oral History Program of the Washington County Museum. The interviewees are Mr. and Mrs. Earl and Mary Jewel Ficken. The interviewer is David Brush. The interview took place at the Ficken residence on Memorial Day, May 29th, 3 p.m. About how old were you during the time of the Korean War?
I started high school in 1948, graduated in 52 at 17, so 14, 15, 16.
And I was 6th grade in 1950, right, yeah.
Okay. Where were you living at the time?
I was living right here on this place right here, home place.
And I was living in St. John's.
And what was it like?
Well, it was, and still is, more or less, a very closed farm community. Of course, the road was rocked at that time, and the only traffic up and down this road really were the farmers and farms along this road. There wasn't any other traffic that went through particularly. Very few people had trucks or anything like that, so we depended on one main farmer to provide transportation for the thresher and anything else that had to do with farming, to provide all these people, laborers and so forth. So the threshing crew, for instance, went from house to farm to farm to farm to farm all the way down this particular road. At the end of the summer, we would all get in the big truck, and I say the truck because that was the only truck on the road, and it was a big 2.5-ton one, and load everybody up and put bales of hay on it, and we'd all head down the coast for the day, spend the day down there. And that was a big end of the summer treat through that tile flat road.
So
you might tell about your family that lived all up and down this road. There's basically two families on this road, wasn't it?
Yeah, my family, my parents, and my sister lived down the road a half mile, and my uncle next door. And then my parents here, so we were the one family. And then the other family lived from next farm down through the corners down here. So there were essentially two families along this road.
Do you remember a lot about Hillsborough at the time? Do you guys?
Not really, yeah. No. We went to town maybe once or twice a month on Saturday. Of course, we worked all day Saturday, except for that one afternoon when we'd take off our town. Everybody worked 6 days a week then. It wasn't a 40-hour week at all. Mm-hmm. Even salaried people know that are working in stores and stuff. So it was pretty much a farming community, and we stayed pretty close to the farm.
You went by bus to school?
Oh, yeah. We had a bus route that would come around, pick us up. Mr. Rood, our shop teacher, was the bus driver, and we had probably 45-minute bus ride, and all over out through here and then back in.
And I lived in St. John's, which I'm sure all small towns or areas were similar. My folks never locked the doors. The neighborhoods were very family-oriented, and we all knew our neighbors. If we did anything wrong at somebody else's house, the neighbors were right over at our house telling our parents, so it was kind of a joint thing as far as raising children. And in the neighborhoods, we all knew each other, and we did things together as a neighborhood. And we used to walk to church. It was about 8 blocks, but the families would walk to church kind of as families together. Rather, we all had cars, just one car families in those days, but we all kind of walked to church together and then walked home. And had big dinners every Sunday, the Sunday dinner was a big thing. Yeah. Nowadays, I think families have kind of gotten away from that kind of stuff.
So what were you doing prior to the war? Just kind of school, work, home life?
Yeah, just the general things that you do on a farm. We had, my father had probably 2,000 or 3,000 chickens. So we'd, and he had an egg route. He and my mother were going to town to sell eggs in Portland. Every Tuesday, that was a big day for the egg route. And they'd take, I remember still a big carton of eggs, and we had 3 or 4 customers that liked the big eggs, the big double yolk ones, they called them. And they'd separate those out. And all during the week, my dad would be downstairs candling eggs. He'd put the egg in front of a light or a candle where the term came from. And you'd see the inside to see if it was good or if there's blood or something, it would show up. So you put that aside. So his evenings were candling eggs downstairs in front of the radio and listening to basketball games, Oregon State, and things like that. It was just strictly a farming endeavor.
And you had a lot of filbert trees, too.
Yeah, and that paid the property tax of the income from the filbert tree. And those are filberts out there, in case you're not familiar with the term.
How did you pick up the filberts? It's not like it is today.
No, they're all picked up by hand. And I made a lot of money on weekends in the fall picking up walnuts down at the end of this road. Schultz has had a big whole probably 15, 20 acres of walnuts. And I could make $25 a day picking up walnuts. Because they paid 25 cents a bucket for walnuts. And I remember big money. It still is. You'd have to, it was wet in the fall when the walnuts come down. And so we had to put on the regular clothes and another set of clothes over that. And we cut an inner tube in half and place it over our knees so we could crawl around without getting soaked and wet. But the problem was the sack of the walnut was very darkening, so your hands were just turning black. So which is the upside of the downside of it. But so $25 a day, I was doing pretty good.
So what were you doing during the war? You still was at school and on the farm?
Yeah, I was in high school, so I went to school. Did chores, came home, the usual activities.
To what extent were you aware of what was going on during the war, like at home and abroad?
Oh, you read the paper, and of course, history class, we talked about it once in a while. It was a lot of high school classmates before or graduated before me went into the war. Several of my classmates went in also after graduation, so it was a topic of conversation. It was nothing like the Vietnam War. It wasn't feared or it was an accepted war, should I put it that way, rather than what it was in Vietnam. And people didn't look forward to being drafted, but they didn't flee the country to avoid the draft. They
said, well,
that's our duty as citizens, and we're going to
do it. Now, I don't remember too much about it. The only thing I remember about the Korean War is the stories of how cold it was there during the war. And of course, I was so young that I didn't know any of my friends. I didn't know anybody who was in the war. If you were asking about what life was like, it always comes to my mind that the dress in the school, we couldn't wear pants at all. The girls couldn't, and the boys at one point could not wear jeans. I don't know that out here, but in Portland, they couldn't wear jeans at all. Still, they were accepted later on. But they wore, I remember my brothers wore cords, and those were okay. And the girls had to wear skirts a certain length, and, blouses and sweaters.
But you never washed the cords. In seriously, you just didn't wash them. They just kind of stood up by themselves. That was the style at that time.
Oh.
And the big duck, what was it called?
The ducktail.
Ducktail haircuts.
Haircut.
Flat top and then odd on the side, like these.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. My buddies all had hot rods. They were fixing up their hot rods, dropping them, putting big motors in them and so forth. And my first car was a 28 Model A pickup with a rumble seat. That was a big thing for me. To,
mm-hmm.
I think I paid like $45 for it. Bought it from a friend of mine. So that's kind of how I got through school, the last year of school. But every once in a while, I was track, as I was a participant of track in the spring, and many times I'd have to walk home if I'd miss the activity bus. My folks couldn't possibly come pick me up. Really. So I'd hitch a ride home every once in a while.
Wow, that's a long way.
Down, my neighbor Bud Krause, he worked at the McKenzie Ford Company there as a mechanic, and I could catch a ride with him if I caught him before he left at 5. So. Well, that's not a bicycle I'd use. I remember that. We just didn't joyride at all, or at least I didn't. We just didn't have any extra money at all.
I noticed that I was reading the newspaper article. You got a scholarship. Is that what the thing was?
Oh yeah. Oh, you thought.
What was that? They didn't really elaborate a whole
track.
Lot.
Was it for track?
No, actually, I was Kiwanis, I think it was. Boy of the Year or something for the school for that year, and I got a $500 scholarship to go to the state.
That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you had a track scholarship.
Did you run at Oregon State?
No, I was going to, and then I got the mumps in spring and didn't. Of course, I couldn't, so I didn't do that.
So, what were your personal feelings about the war? I mean, was there any, and towards like the North and South Koreans and particular?
Oh, I think like everybody was pretty much brainwashed that we were there for a purpose, and Red China and Russians and communism were just bad, and they're there to stomp it out and stop it and so forth. So there really wasn't any opposition exactly against the war, although there was no overwhelming joy of seeing our friends and neighbors leave and come back, or not come back in case. There wasn't much talk about the war. It was just that's it, you know. It's just there, and we're in. There's some friends over there, and that's kind of what it was.
I don't remember, of course, in grade school. I don't remember people talking about it at all.
Yeah.
It was strange. Yeah, yeah. Because we didn't have television,
mm-hmm.
So it was just whatever we heard on the radio. And it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we were pretty much our thoughts were gelled by what the media was telling us.
Sure.
We did, as we said, didn't have television. And, so when the president spoke, I remember we just had to sit down and listen to what the president had to say.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And now it's just kind of a joke, more or less, in the place of the media.
Yeah. So how did the media portray the war, do you think?
I mean, it was a biased media.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. It was just I think a support for the country to be there.
Mm-hmm.
It was our mm-hmm. job to stop communism, and that was a place to stop it at this time.
Yeah.
You know, the Cuban Missile Crisis came up not quite a bit later than that, but there was always a fear of communism threat against our country.
Well, I guess you're kind of talking about this already, but to what extent was the war portrayed as a war against communism in Russia?
Pretty much 100%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just North Koreans were supported by the Chinese, we were told, and the Chinese were supported by the Russians, we were told, and so that was it. Everybody was bad, and they were going to take over the country, and so tried to do it with South Korea. Kind of the way it was.
What were your opinions on this?
I don't think people really had any negative opinions. It was just an accepted fact that we were at war, and our war is right now in Korea, and we're doing what we have to do at this time in our lives to stop communism.
You have to fight there rather than it coming to America was kind of the idea.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It was always platformed with the idea that we fight the war on their soil, not ours.
Containment.
Right.
Do you guys remember any situations in which, like, alleged communists were arrested because of the phobia that was kind of present, prevailing?
I do.
Go ahead.
I do. My aunt lived in Portland, mm-hmm. and some people were investigated that lived right behind her. And it was just all, it was kind of hush-hush, but it was just, they were all, a lot of excitement, you know. Mm-hmm. And my aunt used to be fairly friendly with these people, but as soon as they started talking about that and they were investigated, she never spoke to them again. It was strange. I felt so sorry for the people. I didn't know them at all. But that was kind of the big excitement in that area. And of course, we always would kind of look at people a little leery. Well, are they or are they not? Always mm-hmm. after that. And I think they ended up moving away, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We didn't have anything out here that I recall. Mm-hmm.
So how much did you know about the causes of the war?
You know, I don't think we really knew much, at least I didn't remember knowing much about the cause of the war, other than that the Red Horde, as it was called, came down from the north and mm-hmm. overthrew the south, and we went over to bring back. Take it back where we came from and protect the inhabitants of South Korea and,
mm-hmm.
and Korea in general.
Yeah, that's all I recollect too. It's crazy, isn't it?
Well, you know, there never really is, and I don't think, a way to identify exactly what starts any conflict like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much politicization that's going on nowadays, you never really know. At least I don't feel we are appropriately informed through the media what really is happening around the world. It's just a matter of what is politically expedient and profitable for that particular media to portray.
Mm-hmm.
What was your opinion of the president and the government in general at the time?
Positive.
Oh, very high. I mean, the president was almost next to God. I think always just we respected him, and what he said was the truth, and we never questioned it.
Yeah, there wasn't any, I suppose there was, but I was not aware of any negative feeling towards Congress or the presidency at all as being something bad. Government was good. They were providing good support for our nation, providing jobs, and so it was. Right after the Second World War, the economy just was booming. Everybody had jobs and so forth, which is kind of where we were at that time. But it was just a supportive feeling that the government had for us. We weren't being sabotaged in any way. We were being supported as best we could. And there wasn't a lot of, you know, scandals particularly. Occasionally it would come, something would come to light, but nothing to the extent that it seems to be now.
You mentioned economy. I was just kind of curious when you were talking about it earlier. Did any of the war or anything affect any of your prices for what you guys were producing on the farm?
Yeah, it affected the egg price of eggs. I remember, well, let's see, maybe it did. I remember in 1940, pretty much, yeah, 48, eggs were $1 a dozen. And they'd gone up during the war and leveled off at $1 a dozen, the retail egg prices. And then things started becoming more expensive. Fertilizer, chicken feed, so it wasn't as profitable an endeavor to raise chickens, and that's why we stopped and had been before. So it was starting to cost more to raise goods on a farm than it had in the past. And we really had to have quite a bit of acreage to survive on a small farm. So gas prices were starting to come up, things like that.
So what was your opinion, or if you remember any of the popular local opinion, of Truman's police action policy, how they didn't declare it a war, but it was simply a police action.
I don't think I understood that at that time. In fact, I may still don't understand it.
Yeah.
Mm.
It was just taken as a matter of, well, that's the way it has to be done. Mm. Because people were so supportive of Truman's situation with the atomic bomb in the Second World War and finalizing that. They just felt that Harry Truman was a good, strong president, and if that's the way it was going to be, that's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's funny how it's kind of almost different, too, when I was looking in the newspapers. Like, the Argus is pretty supportive of him,
uh-huh.
But then the Oregonian, when it comes to the election year, they're way pro-Ike. Every editorial has got mm-hmm. some little decrepit picture of the poor guy, some different little message and stuff. Oh, kind of surprising.
Mm-hmm. Interesting how different people
yeah.
do support different
kind of people. People loved
Eisenhower.
Oh, yeah.
I think he was one of the most popular presidents we had.
Yeah.
So to what extent was the war increasing or even decreasing the whole civilian morale in the area?
Hmm.
Well, I think, as I mentioned before, I think it was pretty much people supported that effort. But I think people were probably starting to question why we were doing all these things still. The big war was over, and we're now in this other conflict. And you know, what really is happening here? Should we be overseas doing all these things, or shouldn't we? Maybe it was starting to diminish the support of the United States towards the war effort. But it wasn't a marked marching plan or pickets or anything like that. But it just, I think a feeling people were just getting tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it was probably a little bit later on, though. Wasn't Lehman? He went to Korea. He wasn't in the Korean War. It was over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you could think of one event that stands out in your mind about the time, is there anything that just pops out?
About the war?
Yeah. Or just during that time period, something that happened around here?
No, I've reflected, talked to many people about this at different times, not exactly this point, but I think that was probably the highest point in our civilization as a country, because people were honest. They
mm-hmm.
you didn't take advantage of anybody.
Morals were high. The family units were strong, and that was before the time where the mother started working. So there was the majority of people, the mother was home, and it was also before the time of divorce. I started teaching, of course this was later, in 62. And we had one child in this school of 750 whom everybody felt really sorry for because the family was going through a divorce. And it was the only one in the whole school. Now you have one or two in our classroom that does not come from a family divorce. So it's just, completely different. So, and the families took the responsibility of teaching the children the morals, not steal, not lie, and whatever.
And take responsibility.
Take responsibility of their actions.
Yeah, it's probably, I think, probably the highest form of democracy our country has had since I remember. It was in the 50s. It's kind of gone now since then.
It was very, yeah. This is kind of a silly thing, but I remember our family in the summer, we couldn't afford to go on vacation. So we would move our mattresses out in the backyard. We had kind of a fenced in yard, and it was sort of semi-private, but then there was a big grape arbor, so my folks put their mattress inside the grape arbor, and my two brothers and I were out in the backyard. But we just left everything out in the back, and that's where we slept at night under the stars, and we kind of have, there's a little makeshift fireplace back there, and we cook out and stuff. So that was our camp out. All we could afford. It was kind of fun. But reflecting back now, I don't know that in that neighborhood where my mother still lives there, I would be frightened to sleep outside. There's just too many strange people wandering around at night. I wouldn't do that at all. And then a lot of the families, that's what they did. They just left outside.
Yeah, you mentioned not having your doors locked. I don't remember.
Never.
Until we built this house, which is 1950, I don't remember ever seeing our front door locked or back door locked. The houses were always open. Everybody's house was open. There's no fear of anybody coming in there.
Because
there just wasn't anybody from the outside out this far.
Well, even in town, during the hot summers, we would sleep with all the windows up and all the doors wide open. Everybody did, all up and down the street. And you just leave them open all night. It was just no problem at all. But now, you just, there is no way you can do that.
Do you guys remember any interesting reports or like news stories about the Korean War stand out?
I think, as you mentioned, the reports of how cold it was in Korea.
Yeah, and they used to report on the waves of Chinese people coming over across the hill. Just waves of Chinese
thousands
people coming,
thousands
and thousands coming over. What it was, yeah. Chinese, right?
Yeah.
And that just impressed me. For some reason, I don't know. It was scary. There's no way that they could stop them. Was that the time that it was the Second World War where we had the searchlights, wasn't it?
Did you have searchlights and watchtowers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually read that they put one for Korean War also at the Hillsborough Stadium. Do you guys remember anything about that?
I don't remember that well.
And I don't know how conclusive our studies were. I know it was part of they had made an Operation Skywatch, and it was a national program that they ended up training, I think, 35,000 Oregonians
mm-hmm.
to be ready to do it, and they had it prepared to have 24-hour
yeah.
staff and everything. And they had people donating time to build the tower, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know whatever became of that. But
during the Korean War.
During the Korean War, actually, it was pretty interesting.
But I know during the Second World War, there were searchlights all over, everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, and we had it down at Twin Oaks, down the road there. We had a watchtower. And I remember going with my dad one night to do his, with him, to do his 2-hour stretcher, watching for things, you know, radioing in, and so forth. But not in the Korean War. It just didn't. It wasn't a mass feeling of approval of being in the war. It accepted the fact that it wasn't as much as we were brainwashed in the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
By Roosevelt's administration.
I don't know that people understood how big a thing the Korean War was.
No.
Because the Second World War was so enormous. And I think the Korean War was a lot bigger than people thought it was.
So it was a little overshadowed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a little something like that. But,
Well, my cousins who were in the Second World War a couple of them had to recall back into the Korean War. I remember that. And they were both pilots, so they were and planes in and out of Korea.
Mm.
Ivan, not Ivan, but things. Thus, mm. There really wasn't a lot of, not a note taken about Korea.
Do you guys remember any advertisements that were like endorsing or opposing the war?
I don't, radio I don't remember opposition at all.
No, I don't remember ever seeing anything like that.
I remember thinking that it would be neat to be in the armed forces just because of the advertisements. You know, like kind of glorify being in the army, mm-hmm. in the navy, or whatever. And I was kind of wished for a little while maybe I was a boy so I could sign up. Girls didn't sign up in those days.
The big feeling against communism, you know, the Key Father committees and things like mm-hmm. that, which a lot of sentiment produced against communism and how bad it was going to be. We just had to stop this now. We couldn't let the world be taken over by the communist regime.
Do you think a lot of companies and businesses use that kind of anti-communist sentiments to sell their products?
Well, I'm sure they must have, yeah. Yeah, an excellent sales gimmick.
I remember we were looking through the Argus, one of the classified ads, it said
yeah.
something about the Reds couldn't do the simple one ads or whatever, the way that they could. And
yeah.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
pretty neat. It
just
seemed kind of to be a prevailing theme.
Yeah, and that's what they did call them, Reds. That sounds very familiar.
Oh,
yeah. Let's see, where are we at? What were some of the adjustments that were made by civilians during the war, if any? Were any of your routines changed?
Not really. The Second World War really was a big change with the ration cards and products not being available at all. So after that, as I mentioned, the United States just kind of went into this aura of opulence almost, where everybody had enough to get by, if not more than enough. And, brought, you know, gas to 25 cents a gallon, for instance, and you go put a buck in your car and ride around all weekend. You know, it was no big deal. And, things were very reasonable and affordable, and things were safe. And, so the Korean War just didn't have a lot of impact, to me, obviously.
Well, yeah, they were still getting over the Second World War, where people were so poor, just destitute in the Second World War, and of course the economy started growing and then Korean War. But I was going to say that so many people, in those days you didn't go to a store to buy clothing, except for pants. The boys had
shoes.
Ready-made pants and shoes, but the mothers in the family made most of the clothing. I never had a store-bought clothes until I was, I think I bought a dress. My mom and I went downtown, dressed all up, and went downtown Portland on the bus and bought my graduation dress from the 8th grade. And then my next store-bought dress was probably graduation from high school. She made all of the clothing, and my brother's shirts, and my dad's.
Yeah.
And your mom did too.
Oh yeah.
So, and I think generally that's what it was. It was after the Korean War, probably really, that we started. People yeah. became more affluent and were able to buy clothing.
I think the key notice at that time was the lack of patches in clothes. The more affluent people came, they bought stuff new, whereas before that time, everything's patched.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Whether masked or not, it was just patched. And you just been for it, you know.
Yeah.
At least out here, right? In this community.
Mm-hmm.
And then pretty soon, it's kind of, didn't mm-hmm. see too many patches anymore. You know, the knees always, it seems like, but
right.
not as much as it used to be.
My brother had a size 15 foot shoe. Which in those days, there were no stores where you could buy size 15 shoes, so my folks had to send to Chicago to this special company. And at that time, I think those shoes cost $75. So my brother would save for months and months to get an extra $75, and my brother would have these shoes just forever, one pair a year, and they would resold them and resold them and sold them, and that was the big thing in our family. My brother did a pair of shoes.
$35.
Yeah, in those days that was just an awful lot of money.
Money went a lot further then. I remember first year of college, tuition was $96. And at that, I could make enough in the summertime to pay for a whole year of college. Easily. And I was working in the woods making $5 an hour. And so I just had literally money running out of my ears almost. I had no problem with affording to go to college full time just by working in the summer. And now the basic wage is what, $7 maybe? $6.50, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
No way. There's just no way anybody can do that anymore.
Mm. Another thing I thought of, I hope you don't mind us just throwing stuff out. Being a city girl, I didn't have the opportunity to have part-time jobs or anything except for babysitting. When I babysat, I got to 25 cents an hour. But we did, the big thing to do was pick berries and beans during the summer. Mm. And they would send buses out from the country to pick up city kids and drive them out. And we would pick berries or whatever all summer. And that was the big thing to do. And then we'd come home and get on our bikes and go down to the Pier Park and swim. Mm-hmm. For an hour or so to come back home, but we'd have to meet the bus 4:30 in the morning. And that too is a thing that I would not feel comfortable nowadays, letting my children walk up the street at 4:30 in the morning to meet a bus. Mm-hmm. You just wouldn't do that. And it seemed like all the kids in our neighborhood, that's what they did, to earn money for new shoes for the next year, new raincoat, or whatever. Seems to me patriotism was a big thing. People were very patriotic in those days. And there was no question about country and what you stood for, and like there is now. I mean, I don't even know if they say the Pledge of Allegiance in schools.
They're trying to get it back.
Yeah.
It's like once a week, though.
Yeah, it's just something that isn't taught for whatever reason. I think that's a big mistake. I mean, we are America, and we're a great country. We've lived in a lot of countries. We taught school overseas for 30 years.
Oh, really?
And been in a lot of different places, and we're so happy to be back. And
oh, yeah.
It really is the greatest country in the world, and it's sad to see so many people not happy with our country and being patriotic.
Do you remember any like really patriotic displays or anything?
Well, 4th of July was a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big celebration in Hillsborough. At least
every place.
In the city, but especially, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember the big fireworks display out at the Shoot Park.
We used to have fireworks out at Jansen Beach, and it was close there. But everybody went. Some big picnic thing. It wasn't a put on thing. People were very proud of our country.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I don't see that anymore, generally speaking. There's no displays of any good that particularly. It is Memorial Day.
Yeah.
I guess all the national cemeteries have things, but.
Mm-hmm. The stores are open and people are having good sales and And that's necessary when so many people are working, they have to shop at some time. It used to be where everything was closed.
Well, everything used to be closed on Sundays also.
Well, sure. That's right.
Whereas now, apparently, Sunday is a shopping day rather than a religious, let's go to church and study day. Mm-hmm. Which it was when you were growing up in Eastern Osborne.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole moral attitude of our country has changed 180 degrees, it seems like, since that time. That's why I said I think that was probably the highest, best place to live in the world would be the United States during the 50s. I don't think we'll ever get back to that point where we will be so comfortable. And I don't know if we're mm-hmm. as comfortable as doesn't even do it, but
affluent.
It was just a wonderful time in our country. It's never been replicated since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it was. We got our first television set in our family. And it seems like I was like about seventh grade, so that was in 52. And we didn't know for sure if we would like it, so we went down to the corner radio store and rented one for a month. We could rent one for $8 a month, I believe it was. So we rented one, and then we upped it to 2 months. And finally, I think my dad relented and saved our pennies. Everybody pitched in, though. We all had to put in money towards saving for this television.
Oh, yeah.
No idea how much it cost. They were all black and white. And so. Is that when the butter came out?
I didn't know butter, Well, that was pretty much during the war, though, I think.
Okay.
Right at the end of the war.
You probably don't know anything about that. They had, they used to deliver milk to our house in the city. I don't know if they, when you had your
cows. Well, our milk was picked up out here from the cows,
Yeah, well, maybe you sent yours out to our house. Anyway, the milkman used to come by in the morning and deliver milk in the milk jars.
Mm-hmm.
Then they got this oleomargarine, and it was white, and it came in a plastic sack, and plastic was new then, too. And so, and inside this margarine, which was white, was this little round, like a marble bead thing. And you had to squeeze it and knead it, and that would pop, and that would make it yellow. And that was your margarine. So in our family, we used to kind of argue in the mornings whose turn it was to knead this stuff. But that was new in that era, a little bit before 1950, probably.
Yeah. How were soldiers received that came home?
Not maybe as heroes, but well received.
Very well received, yeah.
Irrespective as having done their duty, or being mad then, or what it was involved in.
It seems like we had a parade in St. John's for men. Of course, maybe it was Armistice Day, they called it then. Maybe that's mm-hmm. what I'm thinking mm-hmm. of. But I remember feeling a lot of respect for the men who had served in Korean War.
What happened if a person was considered a communist? Okay. Touched on it a little bit, but
They usually were hauled off and detained, or
they ostracized,
picked up by the FBI, or identified these guys.
And people didn't have anything to do with them; they just shunned them, mm-hmm. more or less, like the family that I talked about. And I really don't know if they ended up being communists or not. I doubt it. I was living in St. John's.
Did you ever feel during that time that there was violations of rights by the government? Pretty accepted.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
No, I don't think anybody questioned.
No, you trusted the government.
Yeah.
They had to do what they had to do.
Yeah. feel violated at all. It's your duty to do whatever you can.
With hindsight, do you look at the war any differently now? Then?
Oh, I look at
the war as a waste of everybody's time and effort, predominantly. And, I don't think there's any difference. We should have done a lot of things differently. Not just kind of walked in and walked around. We should have let go for, maybe decided we were going to do something about it, period, and went ahead and did it. It was, I suppose it was political too. I'm not really sure. I just don't really know much about the Korean War. It happened at a time when I really wasn't interested in it. Wars.
Too busy now, life.
I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life. Like you were the same age as you were, or now, then, and trying to figure out what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. Why should I worry about somebody else over here in some strange country?
Yeah. What were your parents' feelings on the war? Do you remember that?
I think total acceptance, too. There's no reason for them to believe that it wasn't needed. The efforts that we were going through wasn't needed, unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, it was just all fell through that that was the way it was going to be. It's had to do what we had to do at that time.
Mm-hmm. I think my folks felt pretty much the same way. It was just, they felt it was sad that so many men had to go over there and be a part of it. They felt it was very necessary. I suppose that we were all brainwashed by the media, the government, or whatever that had gone on.
This was kind of an interesting thing that we were finding a lot of. Did you or your parents ever donate blood during that time?
No.
Yeah.
My dad donated blood twice a year for years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he did during that time. Yeah, I mean, it was a big thing for him. I was astonished when he died to learn how much he had actually donated during the year. Yeah.
Why did he?
I don't know. He never said why. And it was always kind of a, I really didn't realize he had, or wasn't aware that he had was donated blood. During the time when I was younger, when I was older, it was just kind of a hush-hush thing. That's what Dad was doing.
Yeah, I have like an uncle or someone that he, there's a certain period of time that has to be between with donations, but he keeps it going all the time, and I guess thinks it cleans him out. He feels really refreshed when he does it.
Yeah.
I did it for the first time a couple of months ago, and I couldn't really tell much of a difference or anything. It was just so bad, but yeah, there's a lot of,
it's a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
Well, along with that, the support of the Red Cross and their efforts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very strong at that time.
The Red Cross was huge. We found a lot of, they had some, they were going for record donations and extra trucks all over the place at the time.
Oh my, yes. I think my dad started probably getting blood during the Second World War.
Oh, no.
My dad was not able. He was either too young or too old. He was just in a time frame where they weren't accepting him, wouldn't accept him, so he couldn't join the Second World War. Worked at shipyard.
I think you pretty much already touched this one, but why, why do you think the people trust the government more then than they do now?
Well, I think for a couple of reasons. Well, now there is nothing hidden. Well, there are still things hidden, obviously. But as a general statement, very few things are hidden from public view for whatever reason. Most of it is political so that I can get elected. So I'm going to dig up as much dirt on whoever I have to get elected to do that. And so all this other garbage is coming in, and people are seeing that senators especially are so powerful, it's just unimaginable how much power they have, and what power they wield, and what they expect, and how they abuse that over the years. And then I think during that time there was no indication that taxes weren't being spent appropriately. You know, there was a need for taxing, a need for roads, and a need for building different things, sewers and so forth. Whereas now you almost look at it, many people look at it as a pork barrel thing. You know, like we're spending $30 million to put a 1 mile bypass in or something, whatever it might be. And there is a lot of that that's still being done. If Congress allocates this stuff just to make sure that, that senator or congressman is reelected because of his influence of getting his money back into the state. And that's been going on since time immemorial, but I think people are more aware of it now than they were then. Plus, you know, the $500 toilet seat or something.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's always been the case too since the war. Since Second World War, when things went from what you actually cost you to do it to cost plus, regardless of it cost you, we were guaranteed that plus 10% on the profit. As soon as that was an issue, everybody just jumped on the bandwagon and bellied up to the government bar, because you could charge anything you want and the government paid for it. Very little inspection thing. And that's never been reined back. So when you talk about government contracts, they're just unbelievable. A lot of miswaste and misuse of public funds. That's what I see.
Yeah, and the honesty just is not there, which kind of reflects, goes back to what we're always saying, that our nation has really gotten away from God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is what's happening.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
And everything else kind of falls into place.
Yeah, of course we're educators, or have been, and a lot of published material indicating that as soon as prayer was taken out of the school, the problems with schools just escalated. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Escalated. And people weren't responsible anymore for whatever actions they felt they might need to take. Whatever felt good, that's what you did now, which is not quite appropriate in my mind. So yeah, it's...
And the me factor too. What is this new age thing? Everything is for me,
mm-hmm.
rather than the other person. And I think that has a lot to do with the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Too.
Yeah, I think it's true. All worldwide countries run through the same, same morass.
Well, I'm done with these questions. Do you guys have any other stories that kind of popped up that didn't really get touched on that you want to share or anything? Or?
It's a great question.
Yeah, it really is.
I'm sorry that we haven't been able to speak
much. I'm pleased to hear some
young.
Of your stuff.
I guess in a nutshell, we just stayed at home. There was no need to go out. There was a need maybe to go out and buy and purchase and so forth. But we either didn't have the money to spend at that time, or we were still in the mindset that, well, I can make it at home. You know, we can butcher, we can do anything we need. Mm-hmm. Raise our own food pretty much. Whereas we don't go shopping every couple of days.
And our family, even in town, we had a big double lot, so one lot was a garden. And my folks raised everything that we ate, except for, we raised chickens too.
Mm-hmm.
Even we did buy beef once in a while, but my mother canned everything, fruit and tomatoes and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, and everyone in those days did the same. There was no one-upmanship as far as buying things at the stores. Of course, then my dad bought a grocery store. Things kind of changed.
But again, of course, long here is different too, I guess. But everybody knew everybody.
Yeah.
it just wasn't a situation where you didn't know your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Or whoever lives two houses down. It just never happened.
I was amazed by the whole feeling of unity in the newspaper within the county, even.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Everything was compared. Washington County, this and
a lot of pride.
Turnout votes and this and that. And
yeah.
They'd have articles for just someone moving into the area.
Mm-hmm.
Little article. New neighbor.
Oh, yeah.
It was really interesting. I thought it was great.
Yeah. Well, people did not move in those days like they do now.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody came in, I mean, my goodness, everybody bought cakes and cookies and, you know, really welcomed them because it was such a big deal. So. Yeah, people pretty well just stay put. And it all changed. No, I can't think of anything else other than.
Yeah, the Korean War was kind of a forgotten war. It's been called, and I think it's correct.
Mm-hmm.
People just didn't. It was too soon after the big war, the Second World War. Kind of in between Vietnam fiasco.
Well, weren't there actually more missing in action in Korea than Vietnam? More. It seems like I read a statistic.
What do you guys remember of the Dodd incident? Do you remember that?
Mm.
This Officer Dodd. I saw a lot of articles about it. So the gentleman that got captured, and actually there was a lot of, I don't know if he was just becoming the scapegoat or what, but there's a lot of feelings that he was just vulnerable to communist ideas, and that was why he was captured. And I found it really odd. There was just a lot of almost negative stuff to
him. Oh, yeah. I don't remember anything about him.
No.
It was probably pretty short-lived. Must have been during a certain month that it was.
Yeah.
Well, a few days, it was an issue. But.
Uh-huh.
I didn't really know much of it either. So.
Yeah. Well, that's about all I can think of.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it was.
Well, thank you guys.
Oh, thank you for coming by.
Thank you for